Do you feel that these individuals might have been incited to take the actions that they did because of radical Islam?
Because of?
Radical Islam.
There are a variety of reasons why I think people have taken these actions. It's one, I think you have to look at each individual case. I mean, we're in the process now of talking to Mr. Shahzad to try to understand what it is that drove him to take the action.
Okay. But radical Islam could have been one of the reasons?
There are a variety of reasons why people...
But was radical Islam one of them?
There are a variety of reasons why people do these things. Some of them are potentially religious.
Okay, but all I'm asking is if you think among those variety of reasons, radical Islam might have been one of the reasons that the individuals took the steps that they did.
We see, you say radical Islam. I mean, I think those people who espouse a version of Islam that is not...
Are you uncomfortable attributing any of their actions to radical Islam?
This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. What you just heard there is a conversation from earlier in the week between Attorney General Eric Holder under questioning from Texas Congressman Lamar Smith, the top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee. Many people are worried that the Obama administration has failed to properly identify the real enemy in the war on terror, and that Holder's testimony is perfect evidence of that. With me now to offer her analysis is KT McFarland, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. She also served under Presidents Nixon and Ford. She's also with the Fox News Channel. And KT, thanks so much for being with us.
Great pleasure, Greg.
Well, you and I have talked about this before, about identifying the fight that we're in, who we're fighting, why we're fighting it. How significant do you find the Attorney General's testimony from earlier in the week?
I find it very significant because they have a sort of a narrative of what they think is happening in America, and it's one that I think is very different from reality. They think that terrorists aren't really terrorists. They're just disgruntled individuals, lone wolves, unhappy people who turn to terrorism. They're not. They are enemy combatants. They may not wear a uniform, but they are soldiers and an international jihadist movement that seeks to do harm and to kill Americans, whether it's the Fort Hood shooter, Major Hassan, whether it's the Times Square bomber, whether it's the Christmas Day bomber, whether it's the terrorist who shot up a recruiting station in Alabama. And I think that the Attorney General keeps, like the evil stepsisters in Cinderella, he keeps trying to squeeze something into a slipper that isn't fitting.
In terms of the impact of this, does it make it harder for us to thwart plots? Does it hurt our efforts to prosecute the war on terrorism? Or is it just make it confusing for people? What do you see?
Well, I think all of the above. I mean, but I think that the president's primary responsibility is to keep the American people safe, admit that there is an adversary out there, and treat him as an enemy combatant. By just using different words, what are we saying? We're saying, well, these aren't really terrorists. We're not going to try them in military courts, we're going to try them in civilian courts, giving them full rights of an American citizen. Well, okay, maybe, but I look at a terrorist and say, not just how are we going to prosecute him, I'm saying, how are we going to find out what he knows? What does he know about the next attack? What does he know about the network that trained him? What does he know that's going to keep us safe in the future or do us harm? The second thing is, if you're asking American men and women to fight overseas and to give their lives and their health and their time and their effort, you need to tell them what they're fighting for. They're not fighting overseas contingency operations. They're not fighting against man-caused disasters. These are terrorists, again, who are out to destroy us and our way of living.
KT, is it simply a matter of them not understanding the nature of the threat, or are they trying to accomplish something by not using similar language to the Bush administration and perhaps trying to ingratiate itself to the Middle East?
Yeah, well, if they are, it's not working. I think that when the Obama administration came into office, particularly Attorney General Holder, had sort of an image in their minds that terrorism was in part caused by George Bush and cowboy diplomacy, that because of the way President Bush conducted himself, particularly with the Arab world and the Muslim world, it encouraged people to join jihadist movements. And so they then reached out to the Arab world. Well, that's a nice effort, but it hasn't worked. You know, President Obama has given lots of speeches. He's reached the hand of friendship to President Ahmadinejad of Iran at least 8 times, and every time had it slapped back. The second thing, though, that I think is even more troubling is something in the security world everybody's worried about since September 11th was, when would we have homegrown terrorists, either American citizens or naturalized Americans with American passports who could move at will? we always comforted ourselves saying, well, in America, we're different. We assimilate them into our society. They don't want to be terrorists like they do in the second generation in Great Britain and in parts of Europe. But what we're seeing with the Fort Hood shooter and what we certainly saw in the Times Square incident was that people with American passports are threatening our way of life as well. It's not just foreigners coming into the United States to do us harm. And that is the great worry, because it's very difficult to see those people coming.
So what recommendations would you give? What should be at the top of the priority list?
Top of the priority list is to say, let's understand what we're fighting, and we have to start profiling. Not racial profiling at all, but profiling for terrorists. When we go through security lines at airports, right, if you're a grandmother from Grand Rapids, you're getting the same security treatment as somebody who's bought a ticket in cash, who has multiple entries from the Middle East, and who is traveling with no luggage. Now, that guy should be pulled off the security line. Let's find out what's he up to. The second thing is that we're not looking for terrorists as much as we're looking for stuff that terrorists might use. Well, you got to start looking for terrorists, because, again, if you try to focus on everything, you're focusing on nothing. And then finally, I think we need to admit what it is. We're fighting a war that's a different kind of war than we've ever fought, and if we treat the soldiers in that war, the enemy combatants, and give them full rights of American citizens, what do we give them? We give them the Miranda rights. And what is that? You have the right to remain silent. Well, if somebody is caught in the act of a terrorist action, I want to know what he knows. Who else was with him? Who else is coming to follow? And those are the leads that we're not following when we treat these people as American citizens.
KT, it hasn't been the best of weeks for the Attorney General. Not only did he have that encounter this week, but he was also caught opposing an Arizona immigration law that he had to admit that he hadn't read. What's your sense on his tenure and how much longer he might be there?
Well, that's up to the president, but I think it says an awful lot about the president's mindset to keep someone like Attorney General Holder in office.
Well, we'll keep watching, as I know you will. KT, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for your insight.
Thanks, Greg.
KT McFarland, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan. She also served in the administrations of Presidents Ford and Nixon. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.